Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
You set an example. Why don't you set an example for your children and the next generation by bringing them out and being a part of our month of prayer on a PM. We're doing it 5 PM so it doesn't run late. Do you know, Gray and I are the product of sitting on the floor at prayer meetings on Monday nights. Every Monday night. And it wasn't for the month of October. It was every Monday night. Indefinitely. That's certainly how it felt when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Honestly. But the truth is that it set an example. It showed us a way. It showed us a way. We were not just told that it was a great idea for our lives. We were shown. We were shown by our parents and we were shown by other believers. The truth is we were shown by our parents, which is a really awesome thing to do because it sets an example and a standard for our life. But there were others in the auditorium who were just beyond the stage that we were at. I remember watching a young adult when I was a teenager who I really wanted to be when I grew up. Right? Come on, you can all admit it. If you were in youth or you were at kids and you were, had the privilege of growing up in the house of God, there would have been one or two people like that that were attractive in the things of God. Right? There were attractive people in the things of God just beyond my stage, and they too set an example for what it is I was doing in my life. And what it is that God had for me, but he was setting the foundations. And do you know, I'm fully aware that in and through our theme, Greater Things, that that is exactly what God is doing in each and every one, in his church, across the world. He's setting good foundations as we begin this, what we're calling the rebuild. Out of COVID-19, the church is rebuilding. We're coming out of hiding and we're declaring to the world that there is hope, there is light, there is an answer, and it is not fear and it is not legislation, but it is the power of the living God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, as I was thinking about this message this week, and I love what has come out in this theme thus far, particularly some of the things that we've needed to let go of. In our last two Sundays, we've spoken about the letting go of shame because that really does help set a foundation to allow the Holy Spirit the room then to set some things in our hearts and our spirits and our minds of what we need to be able to step into this new season, what we need in our foundations. We're going deeper because God has got greater things for each and every one of us. He's got greater things for your family, he's got greater things for your children, but he's got greater things to do in this region that will literally rebuild and reshape what this region looks like. And I don't know about you, but that literally is what gets me up each morning. It's why I jump out of bed, because God is doing something in our community and he's using you and I, setting foundations in you and I, so that we are ready to put our hands to put our purpose to what God wants to do here in this community, to see greater things come out of this community. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? It's really funny that the first story I'm going to share this morning actually is a personal one, and the man who set it in motion is sitting in our auditorium, and that was not the plan. He told me yesterday when he came around for a cup of tea, he was heading up to the sunny coast to his location. But my dad happens to be sitting in our auditorium in this service this morning. Would you give it up for my dad, who loves to be highlighted in a crowd? Not really. My dad, when I was growing up, that's not true. I'm 39 years old, and when he comes over, he still says it. So, but it began when I was a child with me and my brothers. My dad would take the opportunity, not just once a day, it was fairly ritualistic as our going to bed routine, but the truth is he made this opportunity or this moment available to our lives as many times as he possibly could a day. If he was there in the morning and we were heading off to school, he would take the opportunity. But It was incredibly intentional, incredibly purposeful, but there was something that he did in our lives that, although it slightly looks different, we, each of the four children with our own families, have adopted it into our own families since, and this is what he used to do. When I was a child, he used to ask me the question. You can be grateful that it's not a question asked to you, it's a spoken word. But my dad used to ask me the question, Mel, what are you? And I would have to repeat, it wasn't an option, I would have to repeat, I am beautiful, I am special, and I am intelligent. And then he would say, and what must you never do? Never forget it. Now, we have taken that from my childhood into our parenting, and from the moment they were born, we have spoken the word, Tobin, you are handsome, you are special, and you are intelligent. And I love you, and Jesus loves you. And I know that my brothers have done the same. What I realize and what I'm sharing with you this morning is that from a very young age, my father sowed into identity of who I was. But he didn't just speak it, he made me proclaim it. He made me speak it out of my lips so that my own ears would hear it. And so who I am today has been set in motion, yes, by my father, but also by my own spirit, because I've said it and said it and said it and said it. And yet I now realize that my experience as an adult is a unique experience. Not everybody had that experience. I realize it is a privilege, it's a pearl of wisdom that some of you parents in this auditorium today are going to grab it and begin with it. It's a tool in your arsenal, which is awesome. But not everybody has had a setup to their identity that I may have had. However, I do know that there is a person who set in motion your sacred identity. And today I would like to speak about that, because it doesn't matter what was spoken over you as a child, as a youth, as a young adult, as an adult. It doesn't matter what you have said in any of those stages. There is a sacred identity of how God sees you, of who he created you to be. And so that's exactly what I want to speak on this morning. And so the title of my message is called Sacred Identity. Psalms 139:14 says, I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about how thoroughly you know me, Lord. There is a battle happening at this very moment. You may sense it. You are the target of a fierce battle that seeks to handicap your potential. The enemy uses sneaky tactics, flying under the radar so you won't see it coming, and the results are devastating. It's a battle over what you believe to be true about yourself. And it's now time, today, to gear up and get ready for battle and fight. There is no greater battle than the one against your sacred identity. The enemy will speak to you with lies, because all he speaks is lies. There is no truth found in him. He will skew your perspective about who you are, what you are capable of, and he will make you question your purpose. John 10:10 says, the thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Amen. We can't run away from this battle either, because it will happen whether we choose to acknowledge that it is happening or not. From the day we were born, the battle began. But this is not what God wants for any one of us. In fact, through Jesus' death and his resurrection, he has already fought this battle for us and has won. God came to give us a full life, resting in the truth of who he is and what he says about us. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it like this. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. You have an arsenal. You have a tool, or you have a weapon ready to use in this fight for your sacred identity. When you uncover, embrace, and proclaim your true, sacred, God-given identity, you become an unstoppable force for God. You are able to show up. You are able to find your voice. And most importantly, you will be able to unapologetically pursue your God-given potential and the call of God on your life. We've all had someone. I know that each and every one of us, not one person here today, will have escaped the deliberate or unintentional spoken words of false identity over us. But have you accepted those words rooted in self-doubt, fear, or worry as your truth? Maybe these words have altered or hindered your growth and possibly even your obedience to God's calling on your life. The time has come to acknowledge the battle and to stand up and to fight for your sacred identity. For God has greater things for you and I to do and to be for this planet. I pray, I may not know every detail of your story, just like you may not know every detail of mine thus far. However, the miles that we've individually traveled will have shaped and developed our identities. Whether we're aware of it or not, our past experiences may have given us flawed perspectives on who we are. Influences from unhealthy relationships, unfortunate circumstances, and sometimes even our own passivity tend to weaken our foundational beliefs about ourselves. But these were never meant to provide our identity. They were never meant to shape who we are. Maybe you've even allowed the things of this world, your financial bracket, your job title, your appearance, your number of followers, or what other people say or think about you, to define who you are. It's an easy trap to fall into, and it's the enemy's plan, one that many of us struggle to climb out of, but these were never meant to provide our identity. These influences and perspectives are not eternal. That is why they can never rightly tell us who we are. Because what happens when all of those fragile definitions come crumbling down? What happens when we experience failure or loss or betrayal? Our identity comes crumbling down with them, and it shakes us to the core. The only solution is to change how we define and align our identity. Romans 12:2 says this. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So many of us are going through life with lies attached to who we are. It's a hard and ugly process to sort through these lies. However, doing it well leads us to wholeness and freedom as we learn to exist in our God-given sacred identity. Do you know Peter had this experience, and it's documented in Matthew verse 16:15, and I'd love to read this passage. As Jesus is talking to his disciples, he asks them this question. He says, "But you, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter spoke up and he said, "You are the Anointed One, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven." Whoa! Wouldn't you love that identity spoken by Jesus over your world? What a moment. Do you know, we can each start today by asking that simple question of God. Lord, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Would you be bold enough this morning, even right now in your spirit, to say, Lord, who do you say that I am? Have you ever allowed God to encourage you? Have you ever asked him what he thinks of you and then just sat and listened for response? We're in a battle for our sacred identity, and there isn't a more powerful weapon than knowing the truth of what God says about you. Here's what he says about you. He delights over you. He loves you. In fact, you are loved by God with a love so great that he sacrificed his only son for you. You are not condemned, but accepted and loved unconditionally. Because of Christ, you are adopted into the family of God as a precious son or daughter. You are a new creation who is blameless in his sight. In him, you are seen, known, and wanted. Before the creation of the world, he thought of you. You are his masterpiece, one of a kind, created for good works that he intended especially for you. When you seek him, you will find him, and he will equip you using unlimited resources. In him, you can find perfect peace. In him, you are given his strength as you grow in the knowledge of his deep love for you. This is his truth for you. This is his truth over you. Let that speak to your identity and your spirit this morning. This is your sacred identity. We have a choice to boldly walk from the veil of lies into his presence and hear him declare what he says about us. Hear his heart about the details about how he made you, how he hears you. Hear how his plans are uniquely equipping you and purposed for you. He wants you to believe your God-given sacred identity and to take it on as the birthright he gave you, anchored, unwavering, and secure despite our ever-changing circumstances. Hebrews 4:16 says, so now we have come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Ephesians 1:4 says, as he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe, because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. And Ephesians 3:16 says, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, your sacred identity. This morning, would you be willing to let go and let God rewrite the description of your sacred identity? Are you ready to finally peel off false labels that you've been carrying around? Are you ready to experience freedom found only in his love? The identity he desires to bestow on you is powerful, uniquely crafted, and so worth fighting for. This is an invitation to unveil how the Creator of the universe sees you specifically. This message is not a general, but a specific message to each and every one of our spirits this morning. Just as God gave Sarah, Abraham, Peter, and Paul new names as they entered new seasons of their lives, maybe God today has a new name for you. With a new name comes a new sacred identity. Walking in our sacred identity is easier said than done. The nuances of our daily circumstances and situations, experiences, can trigger and impact how we see ourselves. No matter what, we have to grab hold of our sacred identity. It becomes an unwavering tower of truth in a world that is flooded by lies and uncertainty. Knowing whose you are allows you to stand on truth freely, without guilt, question, or shame. To do this, it requires something of each and every one of us. We have to schedule time intentionally to be still and hear from Him. To be still, to stop. If you want to have a good conversation with somebody, you have to carve out time. You can feel valued by an amazing passing word of encouragement. But if you want to know who you are, whose you are, then you have to stop and be still in the presence of God and ask Him the question, Lord, who do you say that I am? And wait for His response. Ephesians 3:18-19 says, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. As I close this morning, I want to encourage you to do one other thing. It has worked for me for a lifetime, speaking identity into my world. You have to declare your sacred identity. When God says to you, this is who you are, you need to declare it over yourself. You need to use the voice that He has given you to speak it out loud. Use that voice that God has given you. Hearing the truth come from your own voice will help renew your mind and reaffirm your sacred identity that is found in Him. There is a power in what we say. There is power in the tongue. And do you know the enemy takes so many opportunities to use it for evil? But we were given it as a gift from God to speak good, to speak life, to speak identity to ourselves. And then this is what happens. This is the beautiful gift of a sacred identity. When we know whose we are, who we are, it gives us a boldness to speak over others their sacred identity. And this is our responsibility as believers, to take up the mantle, a discipleship role over somebody else and speak over them their sacred identity. Stepping into His truth will require you to be courageous, brave, bold, and vulnerable all at the same time, but it is possible and it is necessary if we are to be all that God has purposed for us to be and to do on this earth. And I read again, Psalms 139, verse 14. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. As everybody closes their eyes this morning, I'd love to pray as we take time this morning intentionally to ask the Holy Spirit that question, Lord, who do you say that I am? Father, right now, we give you these words that have been spoken into spirits this morning. I know that you have touched hearts. I know that your word has gone out and it is transforming. Transforming lives, healing broken hearts, speaking into areas of our spirits maybe we've kept hidden. But there is nowhere we can go where we can hide from you. Instead, you want to find us there and you want to speak over us. And so we take this time right now, Father, to allow you to speak into our spirits, who we are, how you see us, the plans and destinies that you have for us. They are good. They are so, so good. Lord God, I pray right now that you would seal this word in each person's spirit this morning, that they would go out with a passion, yearning to seek you, to carve out time intentionally this week to hear from you about their sacred identity. We commit it into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.